change everything. And I want to begin a three-part message series entitled, Thank You, The Power of a Grateful Life. Thank you, the power of a grateful life. And we start this series, just a short series, on the two words that change everything. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. If you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. And it came to pass. Has everybody got it? And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. That was good. We need to lift up our voice. Amen. We need to cry out to the Lord. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. That's a sermon right there. And one of them, somebody tell, say one of them. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice, glorify God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, we're not the 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Father, thank you for the two words that will change everything. Anoint your servant to preach the word of God tonight. And thank you for this season. And thank you for what you're going to do, what you have done. And we ain't seen nothing yet. And God, thank you for in this service, God, that you will heal the sick, that you will touch those who have a need. And we'll give you all the praise. And everybody said, amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see them tonight. And you may be seated tonight. Amen. And let's, as you're being seated, clap your hands, oh, you people, and shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Amen. Well, once again, Thanksgiving is upon us. And one of the things about Thanksgiving is that most people have a Thanksgiving tradition. New York City has the Macy's Day Parade. It's a tradition on Thursday of Thanksgiving. Some of you have traditions. Maybe it's a particular way you ladies carve or serve the turkey. Maybe it's watching the Dallas Cowboys or the other football teams. Maybe it's now on Thanksgiving, it is shopping. Yes, some stores, I will not call their name, will be open on Thanksgiving evening. So traditions. People have so many different Thanksgiving traditions. One person said, here's our Thanksgiving tradition. We go around the table before we eat, and each person says what they're most thankful for. Bingo. That's what it's all about. You see, Thanksgiving is not just a day. It is, I believe, a duty. It's not just a meal. I believe Thanksgiving is a miracle, because when you thank and praise Him, miracles will happen. Hallelujah. It's not a meal, but a miracle. It's not a one-time event. It's an ongoing process. It's not to be one day a week. It's to be 365 days a year, 24/7. In our spirit, we can be rendering thanks to Almighty God. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Verses 16 through 22. When you're there, say amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says to do what in verse 16? What does it say in verse 17? What does it say? Keep on going with me. And what does it say in verse 18? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerned. Now go to verse 19. Sometimes we stop there. What does it say? Verse 20. That's good. That's good. Well, I never realized this. We use 1 Thessalonians where it says, give in everything, give thanks. It didn't say for everything, but in everything. That's another sermon. But in everything. And we think about how powerful thanksgiving is. But it also says, quench not the spirit. How many of you know that the moving of the spirit is important? How many of you know that holiness is important? The Bible says that we are to not to despise preaching, that we are to hold that which is good. We are to, verse 22, abstain from the appearance of evil. We are to rejoice. How many of you know rejoicing is important? How many of you know that verse 17, prayer is important? What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, we put value on prayer. We put value on preaching. We put value on holiness, and we should. We put value on the moving of the Spirit. But brother, if you want to rejoice, and if you want the Spirit to move, and if you want to hear some good old-fashioned preaching, if you want the Spirit to have His way, then do what's in the middle of all that. In everything, give thanks. I'll tell you, thank you will change your life. Somebody give Him praise here tonight. Say it, thank you. Shout it out, thank you. Thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. You are worthy of all of the praise. You know, this is a choice. A good example of praise is set forth by the prayer of an elderly saint who was at a prayer meeting one night, and he said, "Oh Lord, we praise thee. We praise thee with an instrument of 10 strings." Now, I thought he was talking about the fingers. People wondered what he meant, but he said in his prayer, "We will praise thee with our two eyes by looking only to thee. We will exalt thee with our two ears by listening only to thy voice. We will extol thee with our two hands by working in thy service. We will honor thee with our two feet by walking in the ways of thy statutes. We will magnify thee with our tongue by bearing testimony of thy loving kindness. We will worship thee with our heart by loving only thee. We thank thee for this instrument, Lord. Please keep it in tune. Oh, play upon it as thou wilt and ring out the melodies of thy grace. May its harmonies express thy glory." And that's the essence of what I want us to do this Thanksgiving. I want us to render our 10-stringed instrument, our ears, our eyes, our hands, our feet, our tongue and our heart, and just praise Him and thank Him. Because I tell you, brother and sister, when you say those two words, it changes everything. Do you know why? Because it changes you. You know, it's so easy to be ungrateful. We in Americans have so much to be thankful for, and we are the most ungrateful people in the world that's probably ever existed. We Americans, I'm going to say me included, we fixate on the things that we don't have instead of saying thank you for the things we already have. I'm not living in the house that I want to live in. I want to buy a house. But I thank Him for the house that I got. Amen? It's not the one that I would choose, but I tell you, that house gives me a nice place to sleep and to live in this season of my life. I could be really depressed and think, well, I wish I had something better or something bigger. But I'll tell you that when I think of how many people in Mexico, I'm talking about the country Mexico, live in cardboard, I can say thank you for what I have. And by the way, when I moved to Wilson, I don't want to use myself as an illustration, but I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to break my own rule. But when I moved when I was in Smyrna, I stood in the pulpit and the Lord spoke to me when I was in front of that congregation. There was several people there that morning, and the Lord said, "I prepared a place for you," and He prepared a place for me in Wilson. And it's a temporary place. But the Lord said, "Just like I prepared a house for you to come to Wilson, I've prepared for you the next house." So I don't know, Sister Jane, where it's at, but praise God. I say, thank you, Jesus. My God is going to He's not only going to give the desires of our heart, He's not only going to give us our needs, sometimes He'll give us what we want if we'll ask by faith. And I just say, thank you. Can you say thank you? Let's not be ungrateful. And so many times in the church, we can get ungrateful. The music's too loud. The music's not my style. The carpet doesn't look good. The lights are too bright. The lights are too low. The preacher didn't shake my hand. The soloist was off tune and complained that people didn't show up. They didn't volunteer. Somebody didn't do this. You know what? We've got to say thank you. Hey, let's thank the people that do show up. Amen. Let's thank the group that did sing. Amen. I'll tell you what. Do the best you can. Somebody say thank you tonight. It changes everything. Why don't you give him a hand of praise here tonight? Don't be ungrateful. I thank him daily for two eyes to see. And I thank him for contact lenses. Glory to God. I do not like to wear glasses. I didn't like them when I was in high school. They get smudges. I go to the football game and I got glares. I couldn't keep them clean. They would make my face tired. If some of you wear glasses, know what I'm talking about. And I'll never forget the day in 1989 when I went to Rocky Mountain to Tarrytown Mall and went to the eye care center, and she gave me two pairs of plastic glasses that I could put in my eye. It took me about 6 months to get used to them. But brother, I can throw them up and down. I could play basketball with them and still land in my eye, because I'm that used to. Thank you, Lord, for eyesight. Thank you for glasses. Thank you for just being alive. I thank him that I can walk. Oh, I got 2 feet to walk on. Oh, I got 2 hands. Have you seen somebody in a wheelchair? There's a man that comes in the store sometimes, and he doesn't have any legs whatsoever. And I just say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We are too blessed to be depressed. We are more blessed than we do not have to be oppressed. The only way we can be depressed and oppressed is if we're not saying those two words. But if we'll say those two words, I promise you, it will change something in your life. Did it change that one leper? Leprosy. Let's talk about leprosy for a moment. 10 men were leprous. Leprosy was one of the most dreaded diseases of that time. Most cultures, when a person became leprous, killed them, starved them, no longer associated with them. They were completely left to the wild. God, in his mercy, one of the greatest acts of mercy was when God created the leper colony, where lepers could go and have fellowship with other lepers. And that's really what the church is. We're all lepers with sin. And God doesn't just leave us out there in this old world. He allows us to get together so we can mend each other's wounds. And you look at the book of Leviticus and all of those statutes for the leprosy and the sick and the dying. And you'll see mercy, whereas most cultures, there's no value to life. And so here were these 10 lepers. And really, in most cultures, nobody wants to talk to them. Nobody wants to get near them. They're afraid to catch their diseases. But they cried out and said, Lord, will you have mercy upon us? And I'm so glad to know that Jesus stopped and said, I'm here to help you. I'm here to meet your need. Oh, my friend, I'll never forget the night when in my leprous condition of sin, he could have just forsaken me. Oh, but he listened to my cry and he took me just as I am. Thank you, Billy Graham. Just as I am. And I say thank you. And I want you to know that he healed them. He told them to go your way. Somebody say, this is a new way. And this is a new day. Oh, God is up to something. Amen. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick, or lame, because the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. Oh, they did not leave like they came. Amen. But go to verse 18. Luke chapter 17, verse 18. Actually, go to verse 15, Luke 17, 15, Luke 17 and 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Very interesting. Just one of the 9. He fell down on his face and gave him, what's that word? The word is thanks. He gave him, he said basically 2 words. In the Greek, it's 2 words. Thank you. Amen. He gave him thanks. And are there not found to return to give glory to God only this person? And verse 19, he said unto him, rise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Somebody say the word whole. So the others were cleansed. Say cleansed. The others got one touch. He got the second touch. 9 of them came to church and got a blessing. The 10th one left from church to be a blessing. Come on here. Oh, one, 9 of them, God did something for them. And one of them, God wanted to do something, began to do something through him. Those two words is another level. Say the next level. Amen. Those two words changed his life. He could have gone to church with the other 9 and gone home and watched football. He could have said, well, my name's written on the roll, my leprosy is cleansed, and I'm just going to enjoy the rest of my life. But this one said, no, I want to thank him. I want to say thank you personally and powerfully, and I want you to know how much I love you. And when he did that, Jesus did something in return and put him on the map. And who knows what life, what effect his life had, but I can promise you this, when you use those two words, you go to another level. You are not the same. You're not one of the crowd. You're an outstanding person. You're not just one of a few. You're one of the proud, the few, the amen. You're one of those, dare I say it, the happy birthday Marines. You're one of those spiritual Marines. Somebody shout, thank you. Now, let me give you 4 reasons to say thank you. And I want to start by saying, first of all, we can use these two words every day. Number one, because God loves us. God loves me. Say that with me. God loves me. No, you're not getting it. You just said it to say it because I said it. I figured this would be how it is. I thought when I start talking about Thanksgiving, everybody's going to say, well, just another Thanksgiving sermon. You know what? We need to hear more. God loves me. God loves me. I'm in love with my wife. I'm in love with her. I have family that I love. I love my mother. I love my sister. I love my pastor and his wife. I love my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. I love you with the love of the Lord. Love is something. Amen. Love is important. And God loves me. I'm a leper now. I should be banished and I should have my spiritual effectiveness is withered and I can't grasp things because my hands are being eaten. My ears fall off and my face is decayed. I am decayed and deformed. All my righteousness is as filthy rags because the whole head is sore and the whole heart is faint and there's nothing but putrefying sores, the prophet Isaiah said. We are in a terrible state, but he loves me. And I say, thank you, Lord. You love me. Now, people may not love you. Amen. 1 John 3:1. Just give me a thumbs up when you have it. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. He loves me. Turn around and tell somebody, he loves me. Point to yourself. And then point to them and say, he loves you too. Amen. Isaiah 43:4. Isaiah 43:4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give. John 15:9. John 15:9. We can be thankful because as the Father has loved me. Listen to this. This is powerful. Man, this will make the leper shout and come back. As the Father loved me. Jesus was saying, God the Father loves me. Now, isn't that powerful? And as the Father loves me, praise the Lord, so have I loved you. I can be thankful this year because God loves me. He loves me intimately. I mean intimately. Matthew 10:30 tells us that the number of the hair on our head is numbered. Matthew 10:30. He loves me intimately. He knows every intimate detail of my life. He knows what toothpaste I use. He knows what soap I bathe with. He knows my frame, and he knows my name. He knows my downsitting and my uprising. He's acquainted with all of my ways. There's nothing that comes to my mind, nothing that comes upon my heart. There is absolutely nothing that he is not 1,000% aware. He knows when people say things that hurt me. He knows when I'm hurting. He knows when I'm joyful. He knows my mood. He knows my temperament, and he still loves me. He knows, he cares, he loves me intimately. He loves me affectionately. Zechariah 2 and 8 speaks that I am the apple of his eye. That you ever touch somebody in their eye? When I first started wearing those contact lenses, man, when I would have to hold my eye open, I'd have to position that finger. And some of your eyes are watering right now while I'm trying to show you this. Your eyes are sensitive, aren't they? Oh, I had to get my body used to. It's not natural to put my finger straight into my eye. I can do it now. But friend, God is saying when somebody touches you, it is as if God is saying they're touching my eye that I'm not used to it. Hands off. It affects God. He loves us intimately. He loves us affectionately. He loves us passionately. I tell you what, I can get riled up when somebody messes with my family. I tell you, I can now. You talk about my loved ones, and I'm sanctified, but I'll get a holy, holy anger, and I'll be angry and sin not. Amen. And we ought to love people enough to defend them. Amen. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with that. I do turn the other cheek, but I ain't turning somebody that I love their cheek. Amen. I'm going to defend them. Amen. Oh, that's another sermon for another day, but passion. Somebody say passion. Amen. Acts 1 and 3, he said he showed himself alive after his passion. You know what the death of Jesus Christ was called? The passion of Christ. And he loves us personally. The three Hebrews personally. Somebody say personally. He knows you personally. The three Hebrew children, when they were in the fiery furnace, he didn't send an angel. He had in other times, but he showed what? He was the fourth man where? He came personally. Somebody, when Stephen was being stoned, Jesus came personally because Stephen said, I see who? Jesus. He loves us intimately, affectionately, passionately, personally. I know a father who, out of love for his son, spends each night in a recliner. He never sleeps more than 2 consecutive hours. You see, a car accident paralyzed his teenage son. And to maintain the boy's circulation, therapists massage his limbs every few hours. At night, the father takes the place of the therapist. Though he's worked all day and will work again the next day, yet he sets the alarm to wake himself every other hour to massage his teenage son's limbs. He'll go back to sleep, wake up the next hour, go back to sleep, massage his limbs until he goes to work the next day and the therapist comes. Now, when I read that, I thought, that is like my father. In fact, my father's a little bit better because he never sleeps nor slumbers. And while I'm laying there paralyzed in my guilt and paralyzed in my shame and paralyzed in my wrongs, and my father takes the wounds and he massages. Don't you feel his spirit here tonight? I tell you, he loves us, church, and we can be thankful that he loves us. One day, Charles Spurgeon was walking through the English countryside with a friend, and as they strolled along, the evangelist noticed a barn with a weather vane. You know what a weather vane is? You know, there's old-timey weather vanes on the roof, and on this particular weather vane, sometimes there's a decoration and different things. Sometimes there's a chicken up there. You know what I'm talking about? And but this one had a logo. It said, God is love. And Spurgeon remarked to his companion that he thought that is inappropriate for such a message. Weather vanes are changeable, but God's love is constant. So I don't agree with that. But Charles's friend said, wait a minute, Charles. I know you're a great preacher, but you misunderstand the meaning. What the God is love on the weather vane, what it's indicating is this, that regardless which way the wind blows, God is love. Can you say? I said, can you say? Can you say in a loud voice? And give him a hand of praise because God loves me. Number 2, and God forgives me. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1. We can say thank you because he loves me. We can say thank you because he forgives me. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I love this. According to the riches of his grace. Now, we know what debt is. Most people my age and younger, they definitely know what debt is. Where they find themselves in so much debt And I don't want you to raise your hand, but many probably in this building, maybe the debt came because of something, a job was lost or something. But just imagine that you owe $100,000 and there's just, and you're making $6 an hour. You're not going to be able to pay that debt and interest off. But what if somebody said, I'm going to write a check and pay off your debt? Wouldn't that be great? You know what they call that? They call that debt forgiveness. And my friend, we have the debt of sin. We owe a debt that we could not pay. And he paid a debt he did not owe. And what is that? It is the debt of sin. But thanks be to the Lord and this Thanksgiving and all year round. When I think about the sins of my life, the sin I inherited, the sin I committed, the sins of commission that I did, the sins of omission, things I didn't do that I should have done. I just have to say thank you, Lord, because you have forgiven me and washed me in your blood. Can you say amen? You see, his forgiveness is unconditional. What do you mean by that? It means we can't earn his forgiveness. And this is where most people say, well, I'm just going to do a little better. I'm going to give a little more money. What you're trying to do is earn God's forgiveness. You can't pay that debt. I don't preach to work on my forgiveness debt. I can tell you that now, because the truth of the matter is I'm not that, in my mind, that great of a preacher. And so I know I'd never be able to pay the debt through preaching. Now, some of you could pay your debt probably through singing because you're great singers. Amen. But we can't pay our debt through our works. It is the gift of God. Now, it doesn't mean we don't repent of our sins. Yes, I have repented from my sin. Brother, before I got saved, I was sinning and enjoying every minute of it, I promise you. And most sinners, the reason they sin is because it's pleasure for a season. But I said, you know what? I'm not going. I know I like that sin. I know I want to do that sin. I know I enjoy that sin. But I'm in trouble. That sin's going to cause me to go to hell. Oh God, I've done it so many times. Please forgive me. And Brother Philip, he forgave me. I don't want to go back to that sin. I repented of that sin. And I may be tempted, but I've repented. And his love is unconditional. Amen. Doesn't mean I might not fall every now and then through a moment of weakness, but that's what I'm trying to tell you. His love is unconditional. You just trust him and say thank you, and I promise you, he will continue to forgive you. Amen? His love, his forgiveness is unconditional, and his forgiveness is complete. Somebody say complete. Look at Psalm 103 and 12. Psalm 103 and 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed. In fact, it reminds me of Jim Forehand telling about the boy who couldn't understand how God completely forgives sin. And the mother said, well, son, let me explain it to you this way. Now, this is in the days of the chalkboard. Most of you in here know what a chalkboard is. If we call the youth from the fellowship hall in, they have no clue what a chalkboard is. But there was a chalkboard, and she said, this is years ago, said to her son, when the teacher writes stuff on the chalkboard and then takes the eraser and erases the words, where do the words go? And the little boy, it just hit him. He said, oh, I know. She said, where'd they go? He said, they go nowhere. They're nowhere. They're nowhere. And friend, she said, son, when God erases your sins, they are nowhere. He removes them as far. People say, well, you know, when I was younger, I did the, listen, that sin is gone. It's under the blood. It's buried in the depths of the sea of God's forgiveness. He said, I cast all your sins behind my back. And unless you peek around God's back, you don't need to think about those sins. You need to move on, and you need to say, thank you. God's forgiveness is unconditional. It's complete. And here's another one. God's forgiveness is continual. Because guess what? I've had forgiveness. But guess what? I still need forgiveness. And guess what? You do too. Oh, I know we have many in here that have Sunday school pens where you've been 33 years and not missed but one Sunday. You need forgiveness too. I know we have, pastor and myself, we're ordained clergy, but I promise you, ordained clergy still need forgiveness. Amen. Oh, the closer I get to the light, the more of the specks of this world that I see, where sin becomes even a little bitty thing. I remember one time I was in the drive-thru at Taco Bell, and I told the lady to hold her tomatoes. And I got my taco out, and I did a brief inspection, and they didn't hold the tomatoes. And I told the lady, I said, ma'am, could you take this back? And this is in a drive-thru. And take the tomatoes out. She looked at me, and she said, we're busy, and we're not going to take those tomatoes off. Pause right there. I, at that time, was an ordained Pentecostal holiness preacher. I had 3 certificates in my office. I had at that time preached for almost 20 years, cause I started when I was 16. And so, you know, I was about 36 at the time. And I put that car in park, and I let her know right quick, you are going to take those tomatoes off. And I shoved that taco back in that window, and I put that car in park, and I sat there and folded my arms, and she huffed off. And Lord knows what she did that taco, I promise you. But she was a black girl. She was a little black girl. And the next Sunday night, I was going to have Stacy Hilliard and his choir to sing at our church. And I thought to myself, oh, my God. Wouldn't it be something if this girl walks in that door, part of his choir, and looks at me and says, that's the preacher that gave me such a fit over tomatoes? No, I didn't sleep. I didn't commit adultery. I didn't watch pornography. I didn't say a cuss word. But I'm going to tell you something. It struck my heart. And I said, oh, God, I need your forgiveness continually. Did you know 1 John 1:9? If we can go to that scripture, it says this. We read it in the English, but it says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But really, the Bible was written in Greek, and it's hard to translate from Greek to English because we'd have to use so many words. But really, it means this. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And in the Greek, it reads, and to continually cleanse us from unrighteousness. Raise your hand tonight and thank God that his forgiveness is still an option. Thank God tonight that before we leave this world, we just may need to find an altar and say, oh, God, forgive me for even the small. Oh, God, thank you for your mercies. Amen. And I'm glad God's not like this. I'm glad God's not like this. I'm glad God's not like, I have forgiven you 10 times for that. But if you do it the 11th time, I'm not going to forgive you. Now, people might do that to you. In fact, usually it ain't 10 times. Usually it's about 2 times, 3 times. But God doesn't say, you did it time number 13 and that's it. No. God's, now listen, don't keep on doing it just to do it. Amen. Just say, well, God forgives me. I'm going to do it. No. You need to get born again if you feel that way. You never got born again if you got that attitude. But I'll tell you what, every time that you sin and you get that conviction, he will forgive you. And you can say, thank you. We can say thank you because God loves me, because God forgives me. And number 3, because God has a purpose for me. God has a purpose. You're not a mistake. I'm about to come to a close, by the way. You're not a mistake. Some of you said, well, my parents didn't plan me. I was an accident, or maybe even worse. Maybe there was rape or incest. But I'm here to tell you that God had a plan for you to be in this world. You didn't come from your mother and father. You came through your mother and father. You came from the plan and the purpose of God. Every child that walks these grounds, Davon and Junior and different ones, And I don't want to leave, I start calling names, I'll leave everybody out or leave a lot of people out. But I'm just using them as an example. These children were planned by God. They are at this property. They are on these premises. And if God had a purpose for them, then guess what? He's going to help us to discover that purpose. God has a purpose for you. You say, well, Brother Ricky, you don't know I am. I'm in my 70s. Did you know God is called the Ancient of Days? Do you know, if you're 70, God still wants to use you? Well, you say, preacher, all I do is go to the doctor's office. Do you know, the last few times I didn't go to the doctor a lot, but the few times I have gone to the doctor, there's a bunch of people in that waiting room. Amen. Why don't you strike up a conversation about how good the Lord is? People that are sick, they're open to hope. And you can give just like those 10 lepers. You can, in your 70s, in your 80s, if you're in the nursing home and they put you in a wheelchair, roll around there and tell somebody Jesus loves them. My friend, we've got something to be thankful for. He's got a purpose for my pain and through my pain. And he's not finished with me. He gave me the hair color that he wanted. Well, maybe not on this one, but anyway, I'm glad he lets me help it out a little bit, kind of get a witness out there. But he gave you the eye color. How about that? He gave you your height. Now, he might not have given you your width, but he certainly gave you your height. Oh, but listen, he still loves you. He's got a purpose for you. Come on and say thank you. Give him a hand of praise tonight. There's nobody like you. You were purposed and planned by God. I said, and God didn't create you and take all that time to create you and say, oh, good luck, fella. You just find your own way. No. He's got a purpose for you. You say, well, I failed. I sinned. I messed up. I'm alcoholic, drugs, whatever. Then God's purpose for you is to go out and show people that they still have a purpose. Despite prison. Despite drugs. Despite failure. Jeremiah 29 and 11, and I've heard some preachers say that they misquote this, and it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you and inspect it in. And I was in Falcon, and one of our great preachers said that we misquote that scripture when we say that it's a scripture for us, that God has a plan for us and a future and a hope. And I'm like, what? Let me just say something to you. Do you know what that scripture means? It means God's got a plan for your life. Well, I know it was written to Israel, and I know they were in Babylon. That's exactly right. They were in Babylon because they messed up their life. They sinned. They failed. Their parents had failed. And they were in a foreign land, and they were hopeless, seemingly no hope. But God said through Jeremiah, tell those people, I haven't forgot you. I planned you. I created you. And you've got a good end coming. My God, we ought to say thank you. He ain't finished. He's still up to something in my life. And then finally, we can be thankful because God loves me. Say thank you. God forgives me. God has a purpose for me. And God, number four, gives me eternal life. Not a lot of preaching on heaven like they used to. Streets of gold and gates of pearl. May I remind you, in heaven there is no waiting rooms and no doctors. We won't see our grandchildren like our brother here who have physical handicaps. And by the way, even children with handicaps, God's got a purpose for them. Amen. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. A greater purpose. Even a greater purpose. Because what we count as loss, God counts as gains. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. I'll tell you that there is coming that day. And you know, the pilgrims, they came to that faraway land. They escaped religious persecution. And I wonder if sometimes in the next, if the Lord tarries, and in the next 100 years, there might be another set of pilgrims as we migrate to Africa. Some of those African nations are emerging to be Christian powerhouses. One Christian African president sent a message to Obama and said, you are welcome to our country. But do not come over here talking about gay marriage and that. It is an abomination to God. And it is. It is. For us not to tell gay people that it is a wrong. Just point number three. God purposed you. He made you a male. Or he made you a female. Well, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. Well, he whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Listen, I want you to know he made you not an accident. Why would he make you a woman and put a man's plumbing up there? It doesn't make sense. You're in confusion. It's just as simple as that. Well, that is being mighty, what is the word they say? Mighty judgmental, and you are, homophobic. No, I'm telling you the truth. It's the devil that wants to take you to hell. God made you just the way you are. And if you struggle with homosexuality, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It means he can help you and he can set you free. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. And we show love to people who are struggling. But I want you to know there's coming a place where there's no Supreme Court justices that are going to rule against Christians. There's coming a place where the wicked shall cease their troubling and the weary shall be at rest. Brother and sister, when we all get to people say, we don't want to sing that song anymore. I'm sorry, we at Westmoreland, as long as our pastor is in harmony and as long as he allows me the liberty as a music pastor, I'm going to pull it out and sing it. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. People say that's an old-fashioned song. That's all right. It may be an old-fashioned song, but I still like the fact that I don't have to go to work at 5 a.m. I don't have to worry about sickness. I don't have to visit a hospital. When we all get to heaven, somebody say thank you. Oh, for eternal life. Why don't you stand and give him praise? Why don't you stand and clap your hands, all you people, and say thank you. Thank you. Just remain standing. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 John 5 and 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written to you to believe. Look at verse 13. How many of you believe on the name of the Son of God? That you may know that you have eternal life. Did you know there was a doctrine that went around for hundreds of years that says we can never really know if we're saved? Because only God saves the elect. And you don't know whether you're the elect or not. I'm like, what? I'm telling you who the elect are. I can tell you who the elect are. The elect, thank you, Adrian Rogers, you're in heaven. The elect are the whosoever wills. Have you come to Jesus? Then turn around and tell somebody, I'm the elect. Amen. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. Can you say thank you? Only one came back to give thanks. I heard about, and Pastor, if you'll come, and I'll move over to the piano, and you can just kind of finish the service as you'd like. But some time ago, a dog got stranded in the water at the bottom of a canal in Romania. And a passerby saw the little pooch whimpering, trying to climb to safety. And this passerby scaled down the wall, jumped into the water, and pulled the dog out of by the scruff of its neck and carried it back up to dry land. Somebody was videoing. You know, they video everything now. The dog ran away and shook itself, and they watched the video. But then, when the dog shook itself, he looked back at his rescuer, ran to the rescuer, jumped on him, licked him, and nuzzled him, and just got all over his legs and wagging his tail, licking on him. And the video of that has been a sensation. That's the spirit of what I'm talking about. He rescued me. And I just want to know, is there anybody here tonight that just wants to run to the master and just love on him? Say those two words.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, we praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, from my heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know God's will? What Pastor Ricky just preach.
Hallelujah.
Just say thank you. Thank you. We're entering that Thanksgiving season. But every day should be that day of Thanksgiving.
I'm going to try to sing this one. I don't know if I know the chords to it. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks. I don't know the words, but I love it.
Give thanks.
Anybody knows it, can sing it? Come on up.
Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done. The great.
Give thanks to the Holy One.
Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks.
Because He's giving.
He's given.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a great. Of what the Lord has done for us.
One more time.
And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done.